great future. We're talking real money.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the holiday edition of Talking Real Money. Jing, 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 jing. I'm doing sound effects. Jing, 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 jing. Anyway. We talk about money. We talk about investing a lot. We talk about creating an income in retirement, how you can manage your money to make as much as you can or need to make within your risk tolerance. And for many years, many, many years, this portfolio goes back to the 30s at least, when mutual funds were in their infancy. And it was called the dog barking at the Amazon delivery guy mutual fund.
Yeah.
Well, I know that's an Amazon guy.
It is? Anyway, it's not UPS or somebody else?
No, I think it's Amazon. Okay. They don't use UPS anymore. They do their own thing all the time. Anyway.
There's still UPS guys coming and going.
I'm going to be serious again.
Okay.
The balanced fund. We have talked about it and up over the course of the year, a lot of respected pundits and economists have been telling us that the 60-40 portfolio as a concept is dead, and that 4% rule that kind of goes with that portfolio, well, the 4% rule, it doesn't work either.
Wait.
No, it's dead.
No.
I'm not dead.
Yeah. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
Merely wounded, not quite completely dead. Wow.
This is the 4% rule. You gotta love it. 60-40 was dead. Then the 4% rule was dead. Now what?
I mean, this is one of those love-hate relationships, apparently, of all time. One minute it looks great. What is it? Liz Taylor and Robert Burton. I don't know. Anyway, I mean, this is crazy because one minute it's good, one minute it's no good. And this is from people that I generally respect. Christine Benz is somebody whose work that I do respect. I've heard her speak. I've read her stuff. But it was just a few months ago when the folks at Morningstar, where I believe she works. Yeah, she's the personal finance director there.
Yes, that's what that's called. She does work there still.
They told us that you could no longer withdraw 4% of your portfolio and expect it to last in, and by the way, they use a 50-50, but 60-40 is reasonable. Expect it to last 30 years. Not going to work. Can't work.
No, as a matter of fact, they lowered it down to just about 3%.
Yeah. It was, and now, now like a bad penny or a rash that you don't want. I mean, it's back. All joking aside, Ms. Benz and her co-author say the current market conditions now allow for a 3.8% spending rate for new retirees with a 30-year horizon. Why? Why, you ask?
Interest rates went up.
Today's lower stock and bond valuations support expectations for higher future investment returns than was the case a year ago. In other words, the fact that the market has gone down and would be expected to rebound means that you're securities and stuff you're going to draw the 3.8% on are going to be larger, and therefore you're going to be okay. Feel better now? I mean, this is the holiday, so good cheer should be among us. What a difference
a year makes.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
But here's the thing that really bothers me about this. When you're planning for someone's future, when you're planning for their future income stream, you're planning for their portfolio for that future income stream, it's a long-term process. You can't be changing. The whole idea is, give me some semblance of consistency, predictability in my returns. You can't go changing the expected return every year. It's a long-term process. And the funny thing is that the 4% rule held up for decades under conditions far worse than we saw in early 2022.
Not far worse. I mean, this is, and I think the word here I would use is granular. It's way too granular. I mean, this is ridiculous to be doing this every 6 months, every year, looking at all this kind of thing and saying, here, what does the future look like based on the last few months? Here's what I think is a more, and by the way, the bigger problem than, frankly, stock and market, bond market returns, which are going to be abysmal, have been abysmal in 2022, is inflation, of course, which nobody knows what the future of that's going to be. Now, inflation for retirees, you know, I think you can moderate it a bit if you moderate your lifestyle a little bit, correct?
Well, that's why we actually don't subscribe necessarily to the 4% plus inflation rule, because that's what the rule is. We have found, and we found through our own lives, but everybody knows this. This is such common knowledge. Have you ever in your working life had your income go down for a while? Bet you have.
Absolutely.
What did you do during that time?
I threw everybody out of the house and stayed here by myself.
Well, that's because you like being home alone, as do I. Exactly. What you did is you tightened the belt a little.
Exactly.
You said, hey, you know, we're just not going to do as many nights out. We're not going to go out to dinner. We're going to eat at home more. You know, we may trim the cable package back a little bit.
We may reduce our subscriptions, which we talked about.
Which is going to, by the way, that could save you 1% right there.
Be pretty easy in many ways. Here's the other part of this. Anybody who's within 5 years of retirement should have a plan that says, here's kind of it. And it's not necessarily investing, it's income. You got to have an income plan to say, as of this date, I'm going to take Social Security. I got a pension here. That's part one. Number two, when we run plans for people, it gives you a range of outcomes. There isn't one, you know, if I make 5% a year, it works out, because the world doesn't work that way. I think you, in a podcast once, Don said, the stock market averages 10% increase, but it's hard pressed to find a year where it actually made 10 exactly. It doesn't happen.
It never happens because it's an average.
Exactly. So here's the thing I think you should look at rather than 3.8 or 3.3 or it's so confusing. I think anybody within 5 years, as I mentioned, should have a plan. Number two, it should be tested by a professional. I mean that. And there's a lot of you do-it-yourselfers listening to our show. God bless you. I think it's great. I think it's fun.
And how we believe most professionals should test it is you give them all your money and see if they can spend 4% per year and not run out of money. It's a surefire test.
By the way, there are some advisors. You don't have to work that hard to find them. They're out there. No, you put it all in the computer and you run it. But here's the thing I think you should then look at is the success rate. In other words, I think in the planning software we use, if you do 75% or better, it's likely it works. Because it's pretty pessimistic. It throws a lot of things at you. That's the number to look at, not the percentage of the portfolio, because there's too many variables around all this. And you correctly point out, rates of return could be vastly different for the next 30 years. We don't know that either, stocks and bonds. So that's the number I think you should consider, not the, is it 3.3, 3.8? I think it's designed to get Morningstar out front of people more time. It's more about
exactly
the publicity than it is
designed
to help.
Do that. It's totally designed to do that. Why do you think I occasionally put Dave Ramsey in the title of the show when we talk about
bingo?
Yeah. I'm going to get more listeners if I put Dave Ramsey in the title.
Great news, by the way. Great news. What? I just got invited by JP Morgan as a Chase credit card customer, which I probably shouldn't say on the show, a free one-on-one consultation with a JP Morgan private client advisor. Private.
Ooh, do you get a steak dinner with that?
I'll try that. Can I meet you at, not Ruth's Chris, because it closed in Bellevue, but we'll find somewhere.
They closed the Ruth's Chris in Bellevue?
No reason to come here for retirement, which is
they closed the Ruth's Chris and the McCormick and Schmick's?
I know, it's tough times all over.
Wait a minute, that was down at the mall, right?
I know. Yep. Yes, it was.
That was a nice place. I had a great salad there once.
Who goes to Ruth's Chris for a salad? What do you go to?
It was lunch.
You go to McDonald's for a chicken burger? Come on, this is McDonald's.
It was lunch.
You got time for a quick question here?
I have time. Question is, do you?
You can hear them moving in upstairs, but they're getting closer. All right, this comes from, they just put their initials, YG in New York, New York.
YG? Why not G?
Okay. Yeah, G. Hi, Tom and Don. Got that part right. Thanks for all the great information you share with us. I recently came across Paul Merriman and Chris Peterson's Two Funds for Life strategy, and I really want to know what you thought about it. My 401k is fully invested in the Vanguard 2060 Target Date Fund. 2060? Nice. Come on. Really? Anyway, I think that's 100 years after I was born. I always knew the 10% exposure to bonds in the beginning wasn't ideal, but chose this route for its simplicity. Now I came across this portfolio. Seems very appealing. I'm thinking of implementing it. Before I do so, is there anything I should be thinking about following this path? My main fear is putting too much money in one asset class. What do you think? Now, I'd have to log in. I believe the two funds for life is the target date fund plus the small cap value. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. I kind of like that as a simple portfolio.
It's simple.
Yeah. And is it pretty good? It's pretty good, actually.
And simple is actually really good. We don't think things need to be overly complicated. Now, if you had a large portfolio that was being professionally managed, you would probably mix up your asset classes a little bit more. You would overweight and underweight some things a little more granularly, as he mentioned earlier. But as a simple DIY portfolio, it's hard to find anything that has performed any better.
Yeah, no,
I has, mean, past tense.
You've got to accept the fact that you're going to get market-like returns. Not all of us can accept that. I talk to people regularly that say, no, I'm smarter than the market. I know what to do.
Yeah, but this is a loyal listener.
Thank you. And you've got to be willing to sometimes rebalance because the small should go up faster than the target date fund should. So there may be some work there. But overall, I think that's a great idea. You got to have the fund, though. In that 401k, not everybody has U.S. small cap value fund opportunity.
Right. But the other way to do it is to do the target date in the 401k and to do a small cap value ETF
in the
in
Roth.
Your taxable account. In a taxable account.
Yeah, even better. Yeah.
If you don't have it available in a tax, because you're going to have money in a taxable probably anyway, and it doesn't distribute a lot of capital gains.
Yeah. Okay.
In fact, an ETF is going to distribute very few.
Not much.
Wait a minute. ETF isn't going to distribute any.
There's none.
They're all reinvested. Of course, it's not a mutual fund. So there will be no ongoing taxes except from little teeny, tiny, tiny dividends.
Yep.
And until you sell it. So it's a deferred gain.
Yeah. No, it's good. And there's all kinds of great options there. Vanguard's got one. Of course, Avantis has one. That you could go on in that taxable or Roth account. So, no, I think it's a good solution. Truly.
Now, Tom.
Yes.
Don. Will be available to you.
24/7. I'm here for you.
No. He'll be available to you actually on Christmas Eve on a special Tom's Home Alone Christmas Eve special.
I'm going to stand around and eat cookies and drink eggnog.
If you don't call, it'll just be a lot of weeping.
Which is typical for my Christmas Eve, is what you're saying?
Right, exactly.
Like every other year. Yeah, all right.
Like every other year. Okay. Bah.
Yeah. You could be a small piece of split pea soup for all I care about.
Maybe the ghost of Christmas past will call during the show.
Maybe.
Oh, no, that's the ghost of Christmas future.
I'm hoping to not see Jacob this time.
Yeah.
Call. Yes, call.
855-935-TALK. You can call that number anytime, but if you call on Saturday between 3 and 5, you'll get to keep Tom company. What a nice thing to do. New Year's Eve, Tom flips the script and leaves me alone on Christmas Eve.
No,
I mean New Year's Eve.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, okay,
we're like Lewis and Martin. There's a dated reference.
Oh my goodness!
The team's breaking up for 2 weeks.
Sorry. We're coming back together faster than they did. They took like 30 years off. So,
do you want to plug the advisory service?
This is a great time of year to do that because many of you listening, and I've talked to many of you. Alabama, Utah, where was the guy the other day? Montana. So it's all the podcast all over. It's great. It's fascinating. This is a good time to get your financial house in order before Don does his program on hodgepodge-itis again, which you're bringing in a world-renowned surgeon on that, right? How to hack that up?
Well, we've discovered that it may be autoimmune.
Ah, okay.
Well, so we're looking at immunologists now.
I think, okay.
Oh. Rheumatologists.
Way above my pay grade. At any rate, if you want some help.
Maybe a gastroenterologist.
If you want a review, if you want to know what's good, bad, and ugly in your portfolio. There's another movie reference going back 50 years or 60.
Wait, get on a plane, 70. Train, or automobile and make a call.
While Tom's still home alone. So do it. I mean, it's simple. You simply go to talkingrealmoney.com.
Let's see if he gets it right.
And no, I got it right this time. I should write it down, but meet an advisor.
Wow.
Oh,
after 7 years,
Something now like remembers. That. It's bad. Anyway, get some help or call me 800-386-3004. All right. And by the way, yeah, I'll be out of town the last week of the year, but I'm still going to be working.
Now, I have one last request of all of you. Oh. Because this show is airing before Christmas, and we know many of you will spend time with family, and the conversation often veers toward money. Instead of arguing with them this year, just say, just listen to this podcast. Crypto? Oh, no. Just listen to this podcast. Timing the market? Oh, just listen to Tom and Don talking real money. Don't argue with them. Let us do the arguing for you. That is our gift to you. We will argue with your relatives for you. Just tell them to listen to the podcast. Now, they might hate us, but we're used to that. We have a thick hide. We've been talk show hosts for a very long time.
That's a good point. We do. You got to, really.
So tell them on their favorite podcast service, too. It's on all of them.
All of them. Every single one, including FTX.
That is not a podcast service.
Okay.
Okay.
I keep checking every day for the refresh on my thing, but there's no money.
I was in my conclusion phase.
Then conclude.
We're gone. We're out of here. Oh, wait. Let me do it right. Merry Christmas, everyone. Santa's getting old. Bye. We're talking real money.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?